It is time once again for another edition of the At Your Service podcast. This is part of the Branson Podcast Network. And what better thing to do when the weather's really warm is just get to a cool place, go on to the Branson Podcast Network at BransonPodcastNetwork.com and check out some of the great shows. But don't do that right now, because we've got information we need to get to you, especially since we're hitting the holiday weekend. It is our weekly visit with the Missouri Department of Conservation here on the At Your Service podcast, a little deal we call the Conservation Report. And delivering this week's report is one of the agents from Stone County. And based on what I've been hearing, kind of becoming a regular on this program as he's doing his own show and filling in for others, Dan Ankin. Dan, how you doing today?
I am doing very good, and I got to apologize right off to your listeners this morning. I know I've done several here in a row and this month, but I apologize that the listeners have to listen to me once again today. But your normally scheduled guest, Quentin Fronterhouse, he had some type of a little emergency come up this morning and wasn't able to make the show. I think he might have overslept or something. I'm not sure what he had going. But he called me and asked me if I would do the show for him real quick. And I always love coming on here and spreading the word of conservation to your listeners. And thank you for giving me the platform this morning to talk about some of my favorite subjects. And we're going to be talking about fishing. We're going to be talking about a little bit about, believe it or not, even though it's 100 degrees outside, we're going to talk a little bit about deer hunting. I'm going to touch on some bear hunting and some elk hunting dates, and some good information that some of your listeners that applied for elk and bear hunting permits, I got something for them to listen to. So let's get this show started. And what's on your mind this morning, Scott?
Wow. I could almost sign off the podcast right now. You got everything covered, but we probably ought to at least delve into some of these subjects, because I think you've got some, it's like the Christmas shopping thing. You got something, a little something for everybody here. So, you know, that's the way.
Yeah. And it's like, and talking to me is like Christmas morning, because it's like you come out and you open your presents and you never know exactly what you're going to get. Sometimes you get coal and sometimes you get exactly what you asked for. So, we'll see how it goes here this morning.
I got to admit, Dan, that's one of the better lines we've had on this report ever. It's like Christmas morning talking to Dan Ankin. That one's going to go in the archives right there. So here's what we'll do. So, Dan, here's what let's do. Why don't we just go ahead and we'll just kind of go from, I don't want to say top to bottom, because I know this is one of your favorite subjects, but certainly a lot of people are outside. So let's talk about what the fish are doing right now.
Absolutely. So, I've been getting a lot of questions this week about what is the water temperature. I've been getting a lot of text messages from anglers that are coming down this weekend for the July 4th weekend. Water temperatures have been hovering in the high 80s. And for the first time yesterday this year, water temperature hit 90 degrees yesterday on
Wow.
Cape Rock Lake.
That rarely happens.
So it is, yes. So 90 degrees is like bath water. So you got to think, if a fish is a lot like we are on these hot, humid days, if we're outside, we get a little bit lethargic. We don't really feel like eating a big meal. So those fish are going to be feeding primarily in the early mornings or at dark or even better. This is the time of year to do night fishing, wherever you go, you start your fishing trip as the sun is going down. And a lot of those fish do become nocturnal. They become where they're feeding a lot more during the night than they are during the day, just because the water temperature cools off, and it's just more in their activity to get out there and feed. Flatheads and catfish are on the nest right now, but they're going to be coming off at any time. And so you know when those big catfish come off the nest, they're going to be hungry and they're going to be looking for something to eat. So keep in mind, we are just days away from that really kicking off. And your walleye, the walleye on Table Rock Lake, the summer pattern is starting on those guys. Fish are going to be deep. They're going to be in 60 foot of water, 80 foot of water. You got to get out there on those main lake channels and, you know, drop your favorite night crawler down, or some individuals have having some pretty good luck with jigging the regular spoons. A regular large size, 3/4 ounce spoon, has been catching some walleye. And I'm actually going to go out on a walleye fishing. I'm going to go chase walleye around on Sunday for a little while. So Hopefully I'll have a little bit better report for you guys next time I do the show on the walleye. But I know I've been talking to some local anglers, and they say the walleye is getting to be really, really good on Table Rock Lake. So if you haven't went out and walleye fished lately, rig up and go. It's that time of year.
Well, and one thing that to keep in mind, that is, we record this here on the 30th, on June 30th. We're wrapping up our really hot week, but we do have some rain in the forecast. It's not going to really cool things down that much, but the rain certainly would have an impact on the pattern a little bit, I would think.
Yeah, it will. And we do need a little bit of, you know, a little bit of water flow into the James River arm would be nice. If we got, the lake is holding steady. The lake is still around 915, maybe 916. That's still power pull. So the lake is still up. We've had good rain in the spring, and they didn't pull a whole lot of water out. So just depending on who you talk to. Some people like the water level a little bit lower. Some people like it a little bit higher. But for me, it's perfect right now. We don't have to worry about those submerged dobs and the points that come out into the lake arm. Those are still well underwater and submerged, so hopefully there won't be a whole lot of people out, you know, ruining props this weekend. One thing to keep in mind, I know for my recreational friends, they're coming down this weekend. I did mention the stobs are underwater, so keep that in mind. If you are towing a tube or a skier behind you, you may not want to go back into the back of those coves, because some of them stobs that you normally would see and stay away from, they are now underwater. They may be underwater a foot or two, but if your tuber or your skier falls off, man, we sure don't want them to come in contact with one of those stobs that's underwater. So use a little bit of common sense. Stay out on the main part of the lake and don't run back into those coves. It does get shallow back there relatively fast compared to the main part of the lake.
And it's probably a good time to talk about this, too, before we move on to some of the other topics, and that is we are going to have a lot of people heading to town because it's going to be a very big extended weekend, I know, for a lot of folks. So we always want to talk about sharing the lake and making sure to take those safety tips like keeping everyone in life jackets, doing all those type of things, because it's going to be busy out there.
It's going to be busy. I mean, I think all of our campsites around Table Rock Lake is already full. So if you've waited and wanted to make reservations to come down this weekend and maybe tow a camper down or camp somewhere, I'm afraid you've probably missed the train on that one. They've all pretty much been rented out. I don't know of any place that has any vacancies right now, but there might be some last-minute cancellations that might come available, but just like anything, if you're going to Silver Dollar City this weekend, just keep in mind it's going to be busy. You're going to be waiting in line. Have a little bit of patience, and the lakes are going to be the exact same thing. If you're going to go out and enjoy the lake, get out there early and get off the water, you know, whenever it gets too busy for you. Because if you're one of the type of people that don't like to be around a lot of people, well, guess what? At 11 o'clock on Table Rock Lake, there's going to be a lot of people on jet skis and boats and recreational and fishermen, and the lake is going to be a very full place. So if you're like me and you like to get out there and fish and be by yourself, I would suggest being on the water at 6 a.m. and plan on being off the water by 10. I think you'll have a lot more enjoyable day than if you get started at 10 o'clock and want to fish until 2 or 3. You're going to have a lot of friends and activity out there along with you. So get out early and enjoy it.
You know, Dan, it's interesting you were talking about, but before we move on, because I did want to talk about this, we actually had it on one of our newscasts and posted it today. And, you know, a lot of times organizations will do surveys, and a lot of them are commercial businesses, and they use it to entice business, but they do have a lot of good information on it. There's a rental car company named Sixt. It's S-I-X-T. And they had surveyed 50 bodies of water across the country trying to find the most beautiful and what they called the bluest. And one of the ones they surveyed was Table Rock Lake, and it actually was ranked almost right in the middle at number 25. And in the description that they put of Table Rock Lake, it mentioned just the large amount of water, a lot of hidden beaches, and they did also mention the fishing opportunities. So Table Rock gets a lot of national recognition for being a versatile lake, and I think it's what we've talked about with a lot of our other attractions. And again, I'm not sliding Tate and Como, Bull Shoulder, into the other lakes, but this happened to be focused on Table Rock. But it's, again, a kind of a reminder that at some of the nationally known attractions that we have right here in our own backyard.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Lake Penicomo. I mean, I go down there and work that area and check fishermen. I will check fishermen down there from all over the United States. Same with Crane Creek, a little trout hatchery that we have here in Stone County up here by Crane. I will check individuals from New York, Ohio, South Dakota, North Dakota, and everywhere all over the United States. And they've come here just because we do have such a beautiful place to fish and a place to recreate. And we happen to call it home. So sometimes we get busy in our life and we kind of forget to stop and smell the roses. And we live in a beautiful place that a lot of other people envy that we live here. They come here in vacation here in our area because it is such a beautiful place. And Bull Shoals, a lot of times I forget about Bull Shoals because I don't get over there very often. But folks, if you don't want to be around a lot of people this holiday weekend, you might just load your boat up and take it to Bull Shoals. Bull Shoals is probably 30 years behind Table Rock Lake as far as tourism, recreation, and stuff like that. I mean, if you went to Table Rock Lake in the 70s and 80s and remember what that's like, go over to Bull Shoals because that's about what it's like down there. You might not even see another boat for several hours while you're over there fishing. Even though this is a holiday weekend, you will pretty much have that lake to yourself. It just doesn't get the use that Table Rock and Penicomo. Penicomo is another lake that's going to be probably absolutely packed today or this weekend. And the good thing about Penicomo, if you like to beat the heat, you got to think our water temperatures on Table Rock Lake is 90. If you cross the dam and go on Penicomo, that water over there stays pretty much in the mid-50s. I bet it's about 55 degrees right now. So just being over there and fishing, your boat stays cooler. The wind coming off of the river and the lake there keeps you cool. So if you don't like to fish in the heat, go over to Penicomo. And Tony, Penicomo provides excellent bass fishing, too. That's a hidden gem of that river, or that lake, I'm sorry, that lake, is the bass fishing, because everybody goes over there to chase the trout around, but there are some excellent bass opportunities in Lake Penicomo.
You know, that makes a great transition to what we're going to talk about next, because a lot of times when it is hot, as it is going to be, not only with this heat wave, but probably a few more to come, sometimes you like to think cool thoughts. And thinking cool thoughts would include looking ahead to the fall and looking ahead to some hunting seasons. And I believe you have some deer hunting information you would like to pass along to our listeners today.
I would, actually. Today, July 1st, is the first day that hunters can apply online for a opportunity to hunt one of more than 100 managed deer hunting areas that we have throughout the state. Those areas include archery, muzzleloader, and modern firearms from mid-September through mid-January at conservation areas, states, and other parks. National wildlife refuges that would normally not be able to be hunted, those are going to be in there, and some other public hunts, public areas. Some managed hunts are held specifically for youth or people with disability. Hunters are selected by a weighted random drawing. So I've done these a lot of times throughout the year or over the years, and have always had very good luck. These are areas that normally are not hunting to the are not open to the public to hunt. So they have went in and they've done survey studies on these areas, and the deer population is more than what the habitat can sustain. So they will allow managed hunts on these areas. So tomorrow, or July 1st, is the first day that the application process opens for those managed hunts. So if you're like me, sometimes I procrastinate and I forget to do this, but it's only open for 30 days. It's open till the end of July. So if you want to get in there and apply for that, stop what you're doing and get online and go in and apply for your managed deer hunt for 2023. And those are going to be a lot of different hunts and some really good areas to be able to hunt on those areas.
And Dan, to add to that, and we know folks listen to us from outside the state of Missouri, I can tell you because I was working on some stuff today for our friends down at our stations in Arkansas, for folks that hunters in Arkansas interested in those managed hunts, that's the exact same schedule. They open up the process on July 1st, it closes July 31st, and I'm sure there are other states around that have something similar. So, you know, anytime we have that information, make sure you kind of get your own local information, but in Missouri and Arkansas, that happens to match up perfectly with the managed hunt. So get onto your respective conservation department websites and check that out. So, okay, well, I feel a little bit cooler now that we've talked about that, you know, that we've now talked about hunting season.
One more hunting thing to talk to you about.
Oh, okay, let's finish it up then. Go ahead.
July 1st is, now back in the fall, back in the winter months, if you applied for a elk tag or a bear hunting tag here in the state of Missouri, you probably got to go back and think. I think that was open back in December. We had an open period where you could apply to get drawn for one of those special permits. So for a lot of people, they have been waiting for this date for 6-7 months now. July 1st is whenever those draw results will be posted. So if you applied for a elk tag or a bear tag in the state of Missouri, July 1st, go onto your bow hunting app and check to see if you've been successfully drawn for one of those permits. And if you did, congratulations. You're going to have a great time here in the state of Missouri chasing elk or bear. So good luck to everybody that put in for those.
All right, so be looking for that. A lot of reasons to be online this weekend to check those that information out and make those applications. So very, very, I tell you what, there is a lot going on as we really get into the heart of the summer. Okay, so Dan, what is the next thing on your list?
Well, the next thing on my list is if you are out and about and you see something going on that just doesn't sit right with you, let's say you're out fishing this weekend and you see somebody keeping every fish that they catch, and they may be over limit or they may be keeping short fish. We do have an Operation Game Thief line that you can give a call to, and that report will be sent to us and we will go check it out. So that phone number is 1-800-392-1111. So, you know, we'll get a report and we will go check that out. So if anything that you see while you're out and about, give us a call. That's how we stay effective at protecting the wildlife resources here in the state of Missouri. Is we need your help. We all have a vested interest in the outdoors. So if you're out and about, you don't want to get involved in it personally, just give us a call. You can remain anonymous, and we do give rewards out for information that leads to an arrest.
All right, and I've said this before, but and there's no secret, even though I've hosted this program for years, I don't get out and do a lot of hunting or fishing. I definitely love the nature aspects of going on the trails and stuff like that. My wife and I do both. But if you ever saw me out and it looked like I caught a fish, I would not be offended if you called Operation Game Thief on me saying there's no way he could catch a fish that was right. And in fact, I've said there would be times if I caught one, I might call it on myself saying I couldn't have done this right. So I will not take offense if you see me out there and going, because I understand that my capabilities would probably lead you to question. But the point is, if I did something wrong, I would get informed. But even if I didn't, you still want to know so you can check it out.
Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes people just don't know. You know, say you see Scott McCauley down there and he's fishing on Taney Como, and he catches a fish, and he's using the wrong type of bait, or he's keeping a fish that's illegal. Some people just don't know. So you could go over and just tell Scott, hey, you know, you can't use night crawlers up here in the trophy area. And he might say, thank you very much, I appreciate that. So if you see Scott McCauley out there, just go ahead and just inform him, because he may or may not be a pro fisherman like we are. So.
Well, here's the thing. I've always said that if people ask me where the fish are, I says, I can tell you exactly where they are. Country Mart, you can get them at Harder House. You can get them at some restaurants. I can tell you that, but I would have no clue where the fish are out there. But that is why you guys have information on the outdoors that people can get at their fingertips, and a terrific website that can keep people updated on conditions and anything they need to know about the outdoors.
Yes, Absolutely. I'm glad you brought that up. For anybody that's wanting information about what is going on in your area, you know, it's a hot weekend. What can we go do that doesn't cost any money? Because everything we do these days costs a lot of money. I got some alerts on, or some things on my Facebook page the other day about some attractions here locally, and they were advertising some prices of their tickets to get into their shows and stuff. And, you know, it just costs a lot of money to go do anything, except for you can always go out and enjoy the outdoors, and you don't have to spend a whole lot of money doing it. We have some great classes that are coming up. I mean, here's just a list of them. There's going to be a shotgun learning how to shoot a shotgun and how to shoot traps, skeet, five stand. It's a class that we offer that's free of charge. Anybody that ever wanted to make portage, there's also a class coming up at Springfield Nature Center, and there is just a list of classes and events on our website. All of them are free of charge. Go in. There's a conservation team snorkeling class coming up. Learn how to snorkel and learn how to ID fish underwater. I mean, it's totally free. All you got to do is pay for your way there, and once you get there, everything is taken care of. Some of these classes even operate or even offers drinks, like this conservation team snorkeling class. Beverages are going to be provided. It says bring a sack lunch with you, but if you forget to bring you something to drink, we're going to have free bottled water there for you to drink. So a lot of these classes are free and may even come with a drink or something. But get on our website, go to events page, and type in the county or just select the county that you live in. And you can find all different types of events that are free of charge. So if you're wanting to go out this weekend and do something free and you looked at your checking account, it's a lot like mine, and just say, I don't think I can afford to go anywhere this weekend, you can go on the events page and select something and take your family. A lot of our classes are family-oriented or oriented towards the kids. We do have a lot of stuff that are for adults, but we always enjoy seeing the kids there. That's our future. We always want to try to get conservation kids involved, or kids involved in conservation, because that is something that we have to do. If we want conservation to be around in the next 100 years, we have to get the kids involved. And if they have a good, successful hunting trip or hiking trip, or learn how to do something out in the outdoors like snorkeling or making cordage, that is going to be something that they can do whenever they get to be adults and introduce their children to. So get out and enjoy the outdoors this weekend, folks. It's going to be hot, but we have a lot of activities that are free. Doesn't cost you a dime to attend.
And we know a lot of folks could listen to this well after the 4th of July, but in wrapping up, we probably should mention this, Dan. A lot of people are going to want to shoot fireworks off this weekend, and there are certain places they can do that, and there are certain places they can't.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is an unfortunate thing that we have during this time. I do want everybody to go out and enjoy the Independence Day, enjoy the 4th of July. I wish people were allowed to shoot fireworks off on our areas, but it is not allowed. And that is one of those old things where a few people do ruins it for everybody else, because a lot of individuals that we've had shoot fireworks on our area, they can carry those fireworks in, but they can't carry them out. They end up leaving all the litter, all the trash, and you can imagine if there is a gathering of 20 or 30 people in a conservation area at night and they all shoot off fireworks, you can imagine what that place looks the next day whenever our hikers, anglers, hunters, people show up to use that area. They got to wade through the trash in the parking lot to get to the trails. So that is something that we do not allow on our areas. If you do get contacted by a conservation agent on an area shooting off fireworks, a lot of times we do seize the fireworks and we do write citations for it. So find somewhere else other than a conservation area to shoot off your fireworks. Go to a friend's house. Keep in mind that it is extremely dry out here right now. I suspect there will be a few fires started by fireworks, so you might have a 5-gallon bucket of water or something out there. You keep a garden hose on hand, so if a little fire does spark up, it'll be a lot easier to put out when it starts versus whenever it is fully engulfed, you know, and you know, we don't want any structures to catch on fire or anything like that. So be safe. I was watching a story on KY3 yesterday, and they were talking to a eye doctor, and they said one of their busiest days of the year is the day after 4th of July, with it, people, individuals coming in with eye injuries. So I never had really thought about that, but folks, be careful when you're out there. I know it's we always like to be daredevils, especially when we're young, but keep in mind, you only have two eyes, and they can't be easily replaced. So take a little bit of precaution. Use the fireworks as if the, you know, as the manufacturer suggests, and just be careful out there. We want everybody to end with what they had whenever they after July 4th weekend. You know, if you had 10 fingers at the start of the season, try to end that with 10 fingers and two eyes.
Absolutely, Dan. Well said. Hey, my friend, you be careful out there in the heat, and take care of everything this weekend. We will visit with you again and your fellow agents as we get into summer soon. Have a great one. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity this morning to come on here. I really enjoy it. Thank you, Scott.
You bet. Take care, Dan. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Dan Akin from the Missouri Department of Conservation. A lot of information there. And, of course, the complete podcast on the Branson Podcast Network can be heard. Again, Dan Akin with this week's Conservation Report. And that wraps up this edition of the At Your Service podcast, our weekly visit with the Missouri Department of Conservation. Thanks for Dan Akin, who pinched in for Quentin Faunerhouse today, who's kind of the coordinator of our report. We appreciate him giving us a lot of information, especially some good information for 4th of July weekend. Hey, to listen to this and other podcasts right here on the Branson Podcast Network, I'm Scott McCauley.